Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel of God. Chapter 7. The Holy Spirit, the principle responsible for the preaching of the gospel on earth. After seeing in the previous chapters that the preaching of the gospel of God is associated with the actions that announce Christ, his work on the cross of Calvary, the offer of salvation, and the offer of eternal life that is in him to human beings, we could also say that the preaching of the gospel is a clear testimony of who Christ is, what his glory is, and what he offers us through the glory of what he has already done and continues to be able to do. And when we come to see that the preaching of the gospel of God is also the expression of the testimony of who Christ is, what he did, and what his glory reveals to us that he can still do and will do, we can verify in the scriptures that the primary agent through which the Lord Jesus determined that the testimony about him becomes spread among human beings is the Holy Spirit, as exemplified below. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, 7-14. Nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict, or convince, the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. In the subjects on the gospel of God of this series, we have always sought to mention the Holy Spirit. However, in them, we did not devote more specific or long attention to the considerations about the Holy Spirit only because the objective was to focus, first, on the exaltation of Christ, which is also one of the wonderful actions that the Lord Jesus attributed to the Holy Spirit after sending him to work as his agent among people on earth. The Holy Spirit is indescribably wonderful, and it is worthy that many things about him are also highlighted and studied in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of grace, and so many other facets that we would like to address more broadly at another time if God allows us to do so. Thus, when Christ mentions the actions that the Heavenly Father and he appointed to the Holy Spirit to be performed among people in the world, he speaks of the person of the Holy Spirit and not of an impersonal strength or energy in the universe. The Holy Spirit was with God when God intended to create the natural world and when he actually created it, also showing us that the Holy Spirit is equally and eternally God. The Holy Spirit was with God when the actions to create all things on earth were done, as exposed below. Genesis 1, 1-3. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Holy Spirit was also present when the Lord Jesus was introduced in the flesh into the world, as mentioned below. Luke 1, 34-35. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit worked in Christ and with Christ in the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus also when he was in the flesh in the world. The Lord Jesus, also in his condition as Son of Man, was continually associated with the work of the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And after Christ's death on the cross of Calvary and his resurrection from the dead, one of the activities that God assigned explicitly to the Holy Spirit is for him to bear witness of Christ. If a person seeks to walk in closer fellowship with the Holy Spirit, one may see that the Spirit of the Lord will speak much less of himself and speak much more of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord said, He will testify of me, and he will glorify me. So, if a person wants to know a true and revealing testimony about the person of Christ, he needs to open his heart to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the eternal partner of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to witness of Christ and to glorify Christ, through whom God is also glorified. The main protagonist to be a witness of Christ, then, is always, and always will be, the Holy Spirit. The primary co-worker for the gospel of Christ to be announced to the world is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has always participated and continues to be engaged so that the task of preaching the true gospel of God is carried out according to the will of the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The Lord Jesus declared that after he would be elevated to the right of the throne of God, he would send the Holy Spirit to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, showing us in these aspects also the essence of what is the preaching of the various points that the gospel of God covers. The work that the Lord has assigned to the Holy Spirit is to convince the world that all have sinned, but also that everyone can obtain forgiveness and salvation in the righteousness of God to relate to God freely, and yet, so that everyone can obtain the assurance that the prince of this world can do nothing to prevent the salvation of those who believe in Christ, receive him as the Lord in their hearts, and remain in fellowship with the eternal Redeemer. For a person who is in Christ, it is no longer due for the enemy to imprison him or her under the body of sin or the law of Moses. Christ has already triumphed over the enemy, nailing people's debt writings on the cross of Calvary. And to make this clear, the Lord has appointed the Holy Spirit to work very objectively in the world or among human beings. It is the Holy Spirit who was appointed by God to convince people of what is offered to them in the gospel of the Lord, and not the intensity that a preacher puts in the preaching nor the strategies of human institutions that are created under a supposed allegation of wanting to convince people of the gospel of the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Still concerning this last text above, one could argue that the text of Zechariah is in the Old Testament, but let us remember, then, once again, the following words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 24:46-49. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Acts 1:7-9. And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The Holy Spirit can work and indeed works through people who are willing to let him work through their lives, but true preaching, however much people may perform it, is carried out by the Spirit who does it through these people, as was also witnessed by Peter in his first epistle. 1 Peter 1, 10-12. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. At another time when the Lord longed for his gospel to be preached to new regions of the world, it was the Holy Spirit himself who told a group of brothers to separate two of them to preach this gospel, even mentioning their names specifically, as witnessed in the book of Acts described below. Acts 13, 2-4. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the primary co-worker of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the preaching of the gospel of God, and he will always be his main witness. 1 John 5, 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The preaching of the gospel is carried out with the cooperation of many. However, undoubtedly, the Holy Spirit is always the one who watches over the world so that people come to know the testimony about Christ, come to hear about the glory of Christ, and come to hear what God has to say about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And this, so that people may have the understanding to choose to believe in Christ for salvation and the novelty of eternal life granted from the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is entirely faithful to the Lord of the harvest and fully faithful in the revelation of who the Lord of the harvest is, who loves and offers salvation to all people, through faith, by his superabundant grace. 1 Corinthians 2, 6-14. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.